You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. If you're heading off to junior college, a four-year college, or already a student, much of what you thought you knew about financial aid is about to change. From timelines, deadlines, requirements, need-based aid, merit-based aid, and of course the Cal Grant program, there are a lot of new changes that are happening. And while it may seem overwhelming, and that is totally understandable, it's also very important information to maximize your financial aid as higher education becomes increasingly expensive. So we're going to make sure you understand some of the major changes that are happening for the free application for federal student aid, or FAFSA, as well as Cal Grant programs. With the window now open for financial aid applications and problems already reported with the new system, we have a few experts to help navigate some of the changes and the challenges. Jackie Navarez is the College and Career Coordinator for Sacramento City Unified School District. Melissa McClellan is the Director of College Counseling at Christian Brothers High School in Sacramento. And John Waldrop is with the California Student Aid Commission. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
As I said, it's like a financial aid party in here, so we have a lot of guests. You know, this takes me back like many, many moons ago when I was going to college. My parents didn't go to a four-year university, so when applying for financial aid, I just kind of felt like I was trying to make my way around a dark room. It's very, very confusing. I just want to start off with, like, what is it like now applying for financial aid for students and for families in each of your schools? Jackie, I'll start with you at Sac City Unified.
Well, so being a first gen, I too didn't have the, a knowledge base to be able to, you know, link to my parents. So that's one of the reasons why I'm really passionate about making sure we're communicating that to all of our students. In Sac City Unified School District, we host Cash for Colleges at all of our comprehensive high schools, and we will have one for all of our small schools as well. And so that's one of the ways we're, you know, providing in-depth, you know, support for our families, as well as backwards mapping. There was legislation that went through in 2019 called AB 2015 that required all students to have financial aid awareness by 11th grade. And so that's something that we're really pronounced at doing in Sac City Unified School District.
Yeah. And as we know with Sac City Unified, it's an incredibly diverse school district.
Yes.
I think like over 40 languages
yes.
are spoken, like roughly 2/3 are on free or reduced lunch. You know, how does that impact your work in helping people navigate financial aid?
Well, so we are very cognizant as we're, you know, engaging with our families and students, you know, sharing this information in our ELAC meetings, making sure that we're sending out communications to all of our students and our families in multiple languages. Additionally, you know, at our Cash for College events, we'll have bilingual translators to support the completion of either the FAFSA or the California Dream Act application. And then, you know, most importantly, really just connect with our students, helping to see, you know, them to see the future and, you know, recognize that they can, you know, be authoring their own book. And this is one of the very first chapters that they want to do is to complete these financial aid applications.
Yeah. And Melissa, so you help students navigate this at Christian Brothers in Sacramento. You know, what have been the biggest changes, you know, with the new changes that are coming with financial aid application for FAFSA or even Cal Grant?
I mean, some of the biggest changes have to do definitely with this different timeline. It used to be in October when the FAFSA opened, and so it gave students and families a little bit more time to receive their financial aid packages from the universities and make an informed decision about what's going to be the right move for the family financially. And moving it to, you know, opening late January, basically February, I think it's adding a lot of stress for families in the sense of, am I going to hear back in time to make an informed decision for our family about the financial situation, and what's, you know, what are the colleges going to do that? When are they going to get information back to us? So I think it's just added, you know, finances is already a stressful thing for families, and this has just added a whole nother level. So
what are the main objectives behind this redesign of FAFSA?
I think it's supposed to increase access, so offering more access for the Pell Grant and offering more opportunities for families to receive. They've updated the amount, you know, they haven't updated the cost of living information in decades, and so this is supposed to offer opportunity for more families to gain federal aid.
Yeah, there has been some reports nationally that, you know, it's kind of been a bumpy rollout. I mean, have you experienced that at Christian Brothers?
100%. We've had families that are like, I can't get in. I keep trying. And Jackie and I were talking this morning about the window that was open and what's, you know, what's happening with that, and just the kind of trying and failing multiple times over the last week to be able to get into the system and start filling stuff out and logging in and then not being able to log back in once logged out. So it has been a roller coaster for the past couple weeks, for sure.
Jackie, how has it been for you at Sac City?
You know, similar, you know, right now Sac City is still off, you know, for our break. But I know that our students and our families have already been working on this. We're very fortunate in that today is the first day that the FAFSA is going to be open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. That's going to be the case for tomorrow as well. So they have, during that soft launch, not had such extended periods of opening and availability. So that's really, I think, going to, you know, help out a lot. Additionally, for, you know, our students, is we've really done a lot of backwards mapping and helping them to get their FSA ID, because that's one of the things that can, you know, sometimes take a few days, especially this year. It's new where families that where a parent may not have a Social Security number, they're still required to have an FSA ID. And so we've had to do some backwards mapping to make sure we're communicating that to our families. And as soon as the FAFSA opened, you know, helping them to know they can go ahead and start contacting you know, studentaid.gov to be able to get their FSA ID completed, because that's really, you know, that's one of the first and foremost pieces that our students and families need to be doing, you know, to make sure that they can, you know, complete that contributor section. And that's a new terminology. It used to be parents and students, and, you know, but now that everyone's called contributors. And so it may vary based on who's going to be the contributor, based on a marital status and such like that. So that's some things that we've been communicating, you know, way back in the fall. So that way, even before, our, you know, our parents and families went out for the holidays, they were aware of that.
Yeah, as Melissa mentioned, you know, the intention of this is to, like, increase eligibility, right? So especially, I would imagine, for low and middle income students and their families. You know, what have you learned about this new formula, you know, the student aid index, and how it will hopefully contribute to this goal?
Well, I know the intention behind some of the redesign is to increase Pell eligibility. So that way, you know, more people will be provided with Pell funding, as well as having more, you know, Pell money. So I think that those are part of the things to take into consideration. You know, one of the things to understand about the what used to be the EFC, the Expected Family Contribution, now the Student Aid Index, the SAI, is a lot of that's going to be determined on the college, right? So they're going to take that in the SAI, and then they're going to calculate that into their own formulas, you know, with what, you know, monies that they may have, you know, like you look at the UCs and they have the blue and gold, you know, so there are different funding sources that colleges have that they use to then provide a financial aid package. And so that's something that, you know, really is a unique quality of every single school. And so it's really pertinent for our students to make sure they're creating their portals, their student portals, into all the colleges that they have, you know, intention to, you know, to pursue. So that way they make sure they're seeing what any of their financial aid to-dos are and following up, because it is not a mirror image from campus to campus.
Yeah, and that can make it even more difficult. I mean, as you mentioned, Melissa, you know, one of the biggest issues are these delays, right, happening. I mean, if you're a parent or a guardian, just a student, and you're concerned that this may actually impact how much you receive in financial aid, what advice do you have for students?
Best advice is always to contact the universities that a student is applying to. Their financial aid departments, each different institution, their financial aid departments run independently of all the other institutions. And so if there's questions about a student's financial aid package, or there's a need to create an appeal, because what the FAFSA does is use prior taxes, so 2 years ago taxes. So a lot has happened. Families or pandemics or separations or job losses or deaths and all kinds of things can impact a family's ability to contribute to their student's first year of college. And so we always recommend contact the financial aid office directly for the school that the student is applying to. And that and may end up being a lot of legwork if a student's applying to 4, 5, 8, 10 different colleges, because, like Jackie mentioned, they all kind of do something different when they're calculating what type of aid that they're going to offer for a student. Is there merit institutional aid versus the federal aid? And so it can be a lot of legwork, but they're the ones that are making those decisions and are going to have the best information.
Yeah, I just think about, like, that is so much work on top of, you know, you only have 24 hours in a day. Everyone has different life, you know, responsibilities. You know, there are students who are contributing to their family's household income. You have parents that are working multiple jobs. I mean, that's a lot to deal deal with? I mean, what are you hearing from families about, you know, kind of, you know, wanting to get the most financial aid that they can, but also maybe potentially they might be missing out because they don't have the time and the bandwidth to sift through all of this?
I would think that, you know, one of the things that in this lull time, I would really just encourage our students and our families to be pursuing scholarships, right? Because, you know, now is a time when if maybe you couldn't get all of your information in or you're waiting to hear back, don't let this, you know, time go to waste. You know, make sure you're, if you haven't completed a letter, you know, request a letter of recommendation, do so. Complete those scholarships. Also, there's a nonprofit program called Decide Ed. It's an app through MoneyThink that once you do get your financial aid award letters, you can have those financial aid award letters uploaded into this algorithm, and it'll help parents to be able to make the decision, you know, to see which really is the best situation. Also, using the NET calculators that are available on all campuses' websites. And as of this year, it's mandatory that all school campuses have on their website special circumstances. So very much what Melissa was talking about, if there have been some changes in your family's history, financial history, or, you know, demographics, that making sure you're reaching out to your school to explain what my FAFSA or my California Dream Act may be reflecting is not actually accurate for this moment in time. Mm.
If you're already in college, do you have to apply for this every year?
Yes.
Correct.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. So, yeah. So even if you're like, oh, I'm good. No, there's changes this year. If you're like a sophomore.
Per year. You have to fill it out every year. Yes.
But your FSA ID is still going to be good. So if for parents and for students, you know, who maybe, you know, the students are in college, they don't have to get a new FSA ID. Parents who already have done that, completed or created their FSA ID for that student. Now they have a senior, they can use the same FSA ID. So some things, have stayed the same. So that's nice.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we are discussing all things about the changes to college financial aid. Now I want to talk with John Waldrip because you are the analyst and trainer for the California Student Aid Commission, and your expertise is the Cal Grant program. So who is it designed for and who's eligible?
Well, the Cal Grant program is designed for virtually every student in California. So by applying with the FAFSA or the California Dream Act, those are one-stop shopping for most financial aid that you can get, including the Cal Grant. Cal Grants are free money for college. You don't have to pay them back. They are available at virtually every college and university. And the California Student Aid Commission gives out approximately $3 billion a year in financial aid, mostly Cal Grants.
And so obviously FAFSA is federal, Cal Grant is state. Are there changes to Cal Grant like what FAFSA is incurring right now?
Well, FAFSA is the application and Cal Grant is the scholarship. So those are two different things. Sometimes people say, oh, I got my FAFSA money. Well, it's like, no, you just applied with the FAFSA. FAFSA is the application, and the DREAM Act application for undocumented students is the application. And that's what makes them eligible for Cal Grant consideration.
Hmm. With the California DREAM Act application, there have been some recent revisions, right? What are the most notable ones that people should know about?
Yeah, so the application, you know, because the FAFSA changed so radically, we did make some changes to the California DREAM Act application. You know, we've done a couple different things. One of the things that we did was we embedded the affidavit that students are required to complete. So that's now embedded into the application. It's not a separate process any longer. We also streamlined some of the questions to make them easier to understand. We updated the parent signature portion so that it was not as clunky as it had been in previous iterations. So we've made some changes.
When it comes to students who are undocumented, I mean, how does this legal affidavit affect these students and these families?
Well, so in the past, if students, undocumented students can fill out the California DREAM Act application. California is by far the leader in offering aid and assistance to undocumented students. So, and the California DREAM Act application is proprietary to the state of California. So when they filled that out in the past, filling out the affidavit, which was something they were required to do, was a separate process. And a lot of students didn't know that existed, and it became incumbent upon the colleges and universities to contact those students and let them know. And unfortunately, a lot of students weren't paid financial aid because they hadn't completed that affidavit.
Oh, wow. You know, I mean, I would just imagine there's just a lot of mixed messages that the families are receiving about, you know, what kind of aid they're eligible for. And then I would also think when it comes to the DREAM Act application, you know, there may be some hesitation to share your information. I mean, the DREAM Act application is not shared with the federal government or immigration authorities, but there's also outreach and messaging that needs to be done to ensure that families know that, right?
Yeah, no, we are working on that. We do a number of workshops. We get in front of 15,000, you know, high school counselors, and we share that information. So the information on the DREAM Act application is only for financial aid purposes. That's strictly what it's used for. And we want to encourage students, undocumented students, to complete it and find out about it. And sadly, a lot of students either don't know it exists, or because everything is so political, they're fearful. And I think our messaging is, you know, fill out the application, you know, go to college. That's always going to be the better alternative.
A recent number that we found was that I believe 14% of the state's nearly 100,000 undocumented college students receive state financial aid. And this was for the 2021-2022 school year. 14%. I mean, is that a low number?
That is a low number.
Yes. Okay.
We can do better. And I you know, so part of the problem is students don't know that aid's available. You know, part of the problem is some students don't meet the AB 540 criteria because they've only been in the state for a year. But it's been expanded, so a lot of students now have opportunities. And some students don't have the support they need to, you know, find and complete the application. A lot of these are first-generation students, and their families are just not familiar with the process. But the Student Aid Commission offers thousands of cash for college events and other events, and there are lots of organizations in the state that are willing to help.
On the higher education end, you know, how can schools, colleges, you know, universities, you know, do a better part, maybe facilitate the process for students submitting this required paperwork?
Well, so now it's going to be part of the application, and that means that universities and colleges have the opportunity to, they'll be provided that information directly via the information that's provided from the application. So if they choose to use that, and we're hoping that they do, that eliminates that step for the student. You know, otherwise, we just have to let students know that this is something they need to do in order to get paid, and schools need to communicate that.
Jackie, when it comes to the DREAM Act, and there are undocumented students at Sac City Unified, mm-hmm. as well as lots of schools, I would imagine Melissa's as well, but how do you help families and students know that it's actually available, that they're actually eligible?
Well, I think one of the first and foremost things is we say FAFSA and the California DREAM Act in the same sentence, right? Because it's so important for the inclusivity. As we're doing our Cash for College events, you know, we make sure that we have sections designated for, you know, language support services. We have experts in the room that are, you know, understanding, you know, the nuances of should a family complete a financial of FAFSA or should they complete a California DREAM Act. We also in our district use the state's college and career planning platform, californiacolleges.edu. And so that's available for our students to go in starting in sixth grade. They can start to go in and start understanding financial aid. We actively in seventh grade start using it and helping to have our families understand the importance of completing these financial aid applications. You know, the looking at the securities that, you know, are being taken with the personal identifying information, and then also just making it very personalized. You know, so there is legislation that was passed as of for 2022, AB 469, which requires all seniors to have completed either the FAFSA, the California DREAM Act, or a waiver. And so that's part of the information that we're sharing with our families is, you know, backwards mapping that, you know, way early on to help them to understand, mm-hmm. you know, the importance of the financial aid applications, the security around those, and, you know, helping them again to future cast the you know, their child's, you know, college world and you know, not be so scared.
Finally, I mean, we're talking about a topic that for, I think, the majority of people feels like a headache. It feels like a different language. You know, it feels like going back to school to figure out financial aid. It's not really necessarily a fun thing to look forward to. But the three of you just immerse yourself in it. You know, this is what you do day in and day out. Why do you love doing it, Melissa?
It really is just wonderful when, you know, a student walks into my office and can say, I got into my dream school and we can afford it and it's going to work out. And oftentimes they'll come back the Christmas after their freshman year and come in and say how, you know, wonderful college is. And they light up talking about what a wonderful experience they have. So that's just, it's so rewarding and it's so fun to see when it all works out. There's definitely tears sometimes when it doesn't. And we work through and look to find, you know, other ways and other options. But it is rewarding to see when it all works out.
How about you, Jackie?
Well, you know, my father was a foster youth. And so it's really important for me to be able to, you know, embrace, you know, all the diversity that we have and help our families to be able to see that, you know, college is attainable. As I said, I was first generation. You know, my mom didn't graduate high school. And just to be able to I wish I'd had the support that I want to provide to others. And because, you know, education is something that once, you know, it's in your power, it can't be taken away. And I really just, you know, whether it is our students, you know, 4-year, but certificates, going to get, you know, the certificate of the community college. There's some really great high paying jobs, web developer, building inspector, you know, that they need to have completed their FAFSA or the California Dream Act to be able to get that free tuition for the community college. So I think for me, it's communication and education to, you know, have the future that they deserve.
How about you, John?
Well, I mean, I'm a trainer with the Student Aid Commission. And so we get out and get in front of students and educators. And there's nothing more tangible than helping a family complete an application, right? There's nothing more tangible than sitting with that family, walking them through the process, and seeing that the student's going to get financial aid. And it's great. And sometimes that's a first-generation student. Sometimes that's an undocumented student. And I love that feeling, and I love doing something that I think is going to help that family.
Well, John, Jackie, and Melissa, thank you so much for the conversation and your passion for financial aid.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yes.
Melissa McClellan is the Director of College Counseling at Christian Brothers High School. Jackie Navarez is the College and Career Coordinator for the Sacramento City Unified School District. And John Waldrip is an analyst and trainer at the California Student Aid Commission. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.